And welcome to That Horrorcast. I'm Mallory Smart.
And I'm Dmitry Samarov.
On today's episode, we'll be discussing the 2019 folk horror tale, Midsommar. Traumatized and still struggling to come to terms with an appalling family tragedy, Danny, an American graduate student, turns to Christian, her self-centered and distant boyfriend, against the backdrop of their inevitable breakup. In hopes of repairing their faded relationship, Danny tags along with two of Christian's friends and their new friend Pele to attend a once-every-90-year summer solstice festival at the isolated pagan commune that he's from. At last, for the first time in a long time, Danny feels happy. However, in the seemingly nice haven of peace, harmony, and constant sunshine, the welcoming community's peculiar traditions start to blemish the folkloric utopia as the uncomfortable feeling of unease starts to creep up on Pele's guests. But in the eyes of the uninitiated newcomers, the naturalistic rituals seem brutal. Could a numbing truth be hiding in plain sight? Okay, so why'd you pick Midsommar?
Why did I pick? I think it was on the list. It was one of the ones that I was really surprised you hadn't seen it. I guess. It was not like an indie movie really. It was a pretty wide release.
When I announced it on Twitter, and I was like, I'm seeing it for the first time, and everyone's like, what? Why haven't you seen it before?
That's great, though, because it's like you gave yourself, like your past self gave you your future self a present, you know?
Yeah.
it's great that you get to see it for the first time. Had you seen Hereditary?
Yes.
Okay. And I mean, you can see a lot of the same stuff, but I think you really follow through a lot better in this one. Because Hereditary has got a good setup, but then there's like when there's the reveal is so disappointing. It's just like any other cult kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what really bummed me out in that one. In this one, like I think there's a lot better follow through and a lot of other interesting ideas like. Just the fact of a horror movie set in daylight all the time. There's no night in this movie almost at all, you know, except for the beginning when they're still in school.
Mm-hmm.
So everything happens in the daylight and it gives it this other kind of dimension of otherworldliness, you know.
It definitely makes like everything that's horrifying happening around them like even more eerie, but fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I was pretty impressed with this movie. I don't know. I think it was just the second time that I saw it when I rewatched it yesterday. I remember thinking, you know, I guess the one most shocking or whatever, like the scene that people will probably talk about the most is when the old couple, you know, throws themselves off the cliff and bashes their head in, you know. And I thought when I saw it the first time that I sort of understood this cult's reasoning, you know, that they're celebrating the cycle of life and they're trying not to overstay the welcome, you know, on Earth. And I will double down on that. I think they're right.
I mean, Pele. I don't think it's so horrible that they see their lives like seasons.
Mm-hmm. And I don't. I mean. One of the strengths of this movie, I think, is that it doesn't mock these people and their weird tradition. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sort of celebrates it. It doesn't tell you exactly that it's all good, but it doesn't tell you that they're just monsters, these people.
Mm-hmm.
They have these, you know, seasonal rites, and they're connected to the land and their own, you know, ethnic history. And their gods and stuff. It doesn't judge them in a way that like a typical horror movie would have. You know, they would have just been monsters.
Yeah, I mean, instead it came from an approach of more like culture shock, where like one, Dani, obviously she had her past trauma, which obviously that kind of brought that up. But I like how Christian like kind of got like amped up by it. Like, oh, I'm going to do this as my thesis now.
Yeah, I guess it hooks in, that part kind of hooks into like a motif that like we keep seeing in these movies of like some of the worst boyfriends ever.
Oh my God.
Like, what a fucking douchebag. And I mean, he really gets his too.
Oh, he definitely does. I was so like, there was no mystery at all towards the ending. There are no, like, there's spoilers all over. I wasn't shocked at all that she picked him. I was like, you better pick him, bitch. Like,
no, she finally stands up for herself, you know, yeah, rather than cowering, you know, because life has really, you know, beat her up. And she's clinging to this guy that's just an asshole that's not worth clinging to. And like what Pele tells her in the dorm, you know, is absolutely true, you know? And like he's this guy, not that maybe Pele is not a great guy either, but he's like Christian definitely does not appreciate her and is just tolerating her. And just, you know, he doesn't even like her. He forgets her birthday for Christ's sake, you know?
What is it that Pele asks? Like, do you feel held by
yeah,
him?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, right.
That is so the kind of thing that a guy who wants to get, like, your girlfriend would say. That's really good.
Yeah. A guy that wants to get laid. You know?
That is really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's in that scene, too, you almost think, are they going to fuck right then? You know?
They looked like this movie, yeah.
They look like they were about ready to. No, but they see you wouldn't be able to in that movie because nothing is that casual or spontaneous. Everything is a religious rite, and everything follows rules. And when you break the rules, you see what happens to the people that break the rules. They all die.
Catch the limbs randomly.
Yeah, you know.
I still love the leg. Suddenly, I'm like, okay, we know what happened to that person.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Even like, I think they just called sex copulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like even and that I had mean, to be approved and supervised, it seemed.
Well, yeah, and you know, Christian's, you know, when he finally fulfills his really only purpose in this whole movie, you know, where he's like impregnating this like young virgin girl, surrounded by naked old women. Who are like basically helping him thrust, like pushing his ass into her.
I was gonna ask, don't you love the old lady that was like kind of pushing his ass in? Like, wow.
I just wanted to know. Yeah. So what, you know, when in your first time, was that the way it was for you? Were you surrounded by a circle of old naked, naked women of various ages? They weren't all old, but
okay, some of them were decent looking, but
no, they all looked great. You know, they were just different.
Just
I mean, it's sort of like
the
cycle of life. Was that the way your first time was?
Oh yeah, was totally. That? And everybody joined in with the moaning as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's the older generations teaching the newer ones how to do it.
Even the
it's sex
ones
ed.
Did it,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, it's the sex ed. Yeah, they did every, you know, as Pele says, as they say often throughout the movie, you know, everything is done together. Like the raising the children, everything is communal. It's a communal utopia.
So if we're to go back to douche bro Christian, I'm just gonna call him that for now on, by the way.
Sure. I christen the douche bro.
I mean, it really is what he is.
Yeah.
Because he's not a frat guy, but he's a douche.
I mean, he's sort of a, yeah, he's trying friends. To be, he's kind of lost. You know, he's got his bros, obviously, who he enjoys spending time with more than his girlfriend, which, like that kind of thing. I mean, it's very typical, but always is confounding to me, you know?
Especially because she's really good looking, but what's worse is even she knows that, like, both of them know that the relationship should be ending, and obviously the trauma gets involved. But I really do hate that beginning when, like, you know, before her trauma happens, when she's calling him, being like, do we have plans? And it's such, like, the douchebag thing where you have the guy being like, oh, did we plan to do something? Like,
what do you hate it? I mean, it's super real, I think.
Is he's just like drinking beer with his friends and then
because he forgot
and they're shit talking her.
Yeah, but they've also, I mean, they've been together like 4 years, you know, and as we find out later on, somebody asks when they're on the in Cult Island already, you know, how long they've been.
Cult Island sounds fun.
yeah, this place is not fun exactly. No, but even she says when she's on the phone, I don't know who she's on the phone to, saying like she just knows he's about to dump her.
Unknown friend that we never get a name for.
Yeah, we don't ever see the friend. I mean, she has no friends that we meet, you know. She's
obviously
totally clinging.
She has someone.
No, but she's clinging to this guy and his group of friends, and she knows it's, I mean, she knows it's over. And then it would have been over except that, you know, her mentally unbalanced sister kills herself and her parents, and then the guy and Christian is not so much a douchebag that he leaves her anyway. He feels obliged to stay.
He basically like is trying to leave her. Like,
yeah, he's trying, but he doesn't.
Like, she's coming to Sweden, but she's not coming to Sweden.
Right. I mean, but that's him in his whole life. Like, he's supposed to be choosing a thesis for his, you know, graduation thing. And he doesn't do that. He just can't make up his mind. He's just like the ultimate wuss.
He just rips off his friend.
Yeah. And yeah, he's the ultimate fence sitter, you know?
Yeah.
He would have been happy
that Pelle stepped in.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of would have been better if he'd broken up with her anyways, even after she found out her whole family was dead and she was an orphan, you know?
Yeah.
She would have been better off without him. Although, I mean, on the other hand, She finds her new family. She's fine at the end.
I would say he was almost a conduit to her finally feeling a little bit healed. It's definitely what it looked like. Like, she was having a lot of hard emotions at the end, but then it's like, oh, okay, she's let that out. She feels better now.
Well, the first and only smile we see out of her is the last frame of the film.
Yeah.
She slowly has a smile on her face, you know?
She is the May Queen.
Yeah, and she's the May Queen. She finds her place. It's certainly not in the like College of Assholes where nobody likes her and makes fun of her behind her back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool. I mean, I don't know if this is Florence Pugh's first starring role, but it's an earlier one, you know?
I mean, this came out, what, like
2019, I think.
So that is,
I don't know what else.
Recent.
But yeah, I don't know what else. I mean, she's young. I don't know what else she did before. I mean, she's great.
I knew her. She's from Don't Worry, Darling. I knew that.
Yeah,
place.
She was just in. She was the star of Don't Worry, Darling. She's been in a bunch of stuff. She's also in. She's really good in Little Women. Do you see that? The Greta Gerwig version of Little Women.
I have that on my to watch list.
Oh, that's fun.
We were actually going to watch that during the pandemic, and we just never ended up getting around to it.
You know, she's making that, Greta Gerwig, she's making a Barbie doll movie. I'm very curious about that. I don't know how that's going to be done exactly.
Yeah.
It's about Barbie.
You know, it's going to be an interesting twist, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I love Greta Gerwig.
But now I'm so excited that you like made me realize that was, you know, a chick from Don't Worry, Darling. Wow.
She's in some, I think she's one in one of those superhero franchises too.
I think she's in,
she might be Scarlett Johansson's sister, like in one of those.
That's what I'm thinking.
The
I think
Black
she's
Widow,
in, like, the
I think.
Spinoff movie, yeah. Why did I say spinoff movies? They're all spinoff movies.
Well, they're all, yeah. It's whatever that whole mythology. Well, let's see what. Little Florence, I know she's done a lot of stuff, but I don't know if this was her first like full on lead role. I mean, look, she was born in 1996. She's a child.
She's a child to us. Well,
even to
you,
to you, she's not a child, but she's, you know.
I had to deal with children the other day, so
what happened?
Okay, you know how we have the common area, right? And mm-hmm. I am unlucky enough to be the one who lives on this floor. There are a shit ton of, like, little teenagers having themselves, like, a pre-Christmas sleepover the other night, which basically meant that they're hanging out listening to Olivia Rodriguez and drinking White Claw. And like they're like running down the hallway playing tag and falling down on each other and shit.
Nice.
So I had to like go in, and I shit you not, I didn't even mean to. That's how you know I saw Scream too many times. I was just like, excuse me, Gen Z. And they just like all looked at me, and I was like, oh shit, now I actually do have to say something. And I was like, you guys just chill out and everything. But they're all right. I didn't go boomer on them, but I had to be the person in my pajamas, like, which is a Goonie t-shirt and like old gym shorts.
Nice. And but you were transformed into a Karen.
At that moment, not totally. You became Karen. This is how you know, like, I'm an adult, but very much a millennial adult, where I was just like, you guys got to keep it down, because I feel like the Karen would be like, where are your parents? But instead, I was just like, I am so sorry to annoy you about me being annoyed. No. But can you please turn the music down and stop running around the hallway like idiots? Thank you. Yeah. Goodbye.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, she's been in movies since 2014. She was a star of a movie called Lady Macbeth that I vaguely remember.
Is that it's not the Apple one, right?
Lady Macbeth is from 2016.
You know what? No, I think they just did regular Macbeth.
It's not, that's right. Lady Macbeth is not, it's not Shakespeare. It's based on a short book, but, you know, sort of related, as far as, yeah, she sort of kills people and stuff.
Fun stuff.
It's kind of a horror thing, but yeah, she's been around for a bit, and yeah, she was in Black Widow too. So that's her thing. But yeah, this is great. I don't know. So yeah, you even texted me that you really loved it. Like, what did you love about it so much? This movie.
Well, honestly, I made a rule that I would not look up anything before watching it, which I don't usually do. Sometimes I like will like be like, all right, what's a spin or whatever. So finding out the traumatic event was fun, because I actually thought that the trauma was going to be worse. Then again, I'm not really sure on the scales of like what trauma is worse. I thought that she personally like was going to be hurt, like physically. So finding that out was like, oh, that's a good spin. Didn't see that. So she just lost people instead of like her actually having like a horrible situation. Because I feel like if she had like a really horrible physical trauma, that like it would be more excuse for him to be by her side. Whereas instead, like with this, it's like he could still be a dick and leave.
Yeah.
But no, I liked all the twists and spins. And there's one thing I always wonder, and I thought it was really cool how they did it, the mirror shots. They use mirrors so much in this movie. Someone who likes cameras, I'm just really curious how, obviously the angles, but I understand the reasoning. It definitely seems like every time there is a mirror, it's between her and Christian, and they're talking to each other, and I'm sure in some really weird art school person, they're going to be like, oh, it's supposed to signify separation and different levels or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're really like one of the worst couples ever. They're completely not matched.
Like, if you're talking to somebody and you can see them talking at you in the mirror, then you know that your back is to them, so.
Yeah, I think he takes Ari Aster, you know, like in almost all their scenes together, he just really enforces the fact that he's barely listening to anything she says, like ever, you know?
Oh, you see him zoning out so much. Like, he's very.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. But really, it's not just him, it's all these other kind of interlopers that come to visit Cult Island. I sort of, you know, I'm not advocating bloodshed or, you know, human sacrifice, but I think their deaths in that context are kind of justified. You know?
Okay, given everyone, like, the reason why they died, like, yeah, one, they were lured to that place for that purpose, but two, they all kind of had it coming.
That's what I mean. They had it coming. And
I don't think I faulted the cult for even luring them. It's just like, you know what? You guys got to do what you guys got to do.
Well, as they said, when Christian finally gets around to starting his thesis, you know, he's questioning that one guy about incest and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the guy tells him, like, well, we need to get outside. He tells him, basically foreshadows Christian's fate. He's a sperm donor, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't need him. They just need his sperm to keep their little village going.
In that, I thought it was going to be more than him. I thought the other guys were going to get some as well, but yeah.
Well, there was a use for them, but you
obviously
know, it was,
that wasn't it.
It was more for the sacrifice to appease the gods so they could keep having their beautiful society keep prospering and going on. I mean, similar, like it sort of made me think of Texas Chainsaw Massacre in that way. How we were talking about how these like asshole college kids intruded on these, you know, they were trespassing and they're intruding on somebody else's life. So who's wrong there, you know?
Honestly, it's one of those, like, the main difference is that in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they just kind of stomped in uninvited. In this one, they were invited. But it was with, like, the knowledge that, like, you could tell that, like, they're targeting people that they knew would not respect.
Yeah, I mean, the one guy, I forget his name, the one thesis guy who Christian steals from,
Mark.
The friend. He took a picture when he was told not to take photographs. I mean, he's basically spying, and he was breaking all the fucking rules.
He's the one that, like, looked at the texts, right?
Yeah.
And, like, everyone's just like, oh, we won't judge whoever, just return it or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he was saying he wanted to read it, and Pele's like, you wouldn't be able to understand it.
Yeah. It's these people that are, you know, they're kind of tourists, but they're sort of on safari, and they're just using this, like, this weird culture that they don't understand for their own to profit off of it. You know what I mean?
Ooh, I got the names wrong, by the way. Mark is the annoying guy who peed on the tree.
Josh, oh, he's the broiest guy.
The one who
he's
I,
Mr.
Like, kept
Party
wondering,
guy.
Like, why is he here?
He's there to get killed early. That's what he's there for.
Like, he was easily like this rat face motherfucker. Yep. Like, who are you and why are you here?
I've seen that guy before, and he's always perfectly cast. As he's got that face, you know, that you just want to punch.
Yeah.
You know? and he doesn't last very long.
Not usually. I mean, let's see what else he's actually in. His name is William Poulter.
Okay, what's he done? I know I've seen him before.
Oh, I've seen him in that one movie, Detroit, the one about the riots.
Yeah, right. The Catherine Bigelow movie, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the only Catherine Bigelow movies I thought was decent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think that's one of her worst, but...
I don't like war movies,
Yeah.
It's probably
No, her best movie is Near Dark, vampire movie.
I haven't seen that one.
Well, we should definitely see that at some point in the future.
Add it to the list.
Yeah, add it to the list. That's a good one. Yep. Bill Paxton...
I love Bill Paxton.
He's
what
a star.
He just like buddies with like James Cameron and his ex? Well, he was.
Yeah, right. He must be. I mean, he's in so many things. Well, he passed away, but Near Dark is great. Point Break is really good too. Actually, the surfer with Keanu Reeves and.
You have no idea how many times people responded. I asked people, what movie do you think James Cameron will be remembered for? And so many people jokingly were like, Point Break.
Oh, no, but Catherine Bigelow is a much better director than James Cameron.
It definitely was one of those sad things. God, though, there are some interesting answers to that, but I'll get off that segue.
No, but like increasingly with the last few movies she's done, she's more and more on like the side of the cops.
Yeah, I'm
mean,
not
like,
vibing that, yeah.
Zero Dark Thirty is basically justifying torturing people.
See, that's why I haven't been liking
gross.
Your stuff, yeah.
Yeah, Hurt Locker is interesting. I mean, because it's more just from the soldier's point of view of what they're doing. I liked Hurt Locker, but... yeah, it's a mixed bag. She's made some interesting movies in different genres, you know?
See, I feel like maybe she's the kind of person who shouldn't be doing dramas, maybe?
Who knows?
What is Near Dark?
Near Dark is a horror movie. See? It's a vampire movie.
She should just stay away from drama.
Maybe she shouldn't do political. I mean, I thought Detroit was pretty clumsy, but...
Yeah. He's the douche cop in that.
So. Okay, yeah, right. So he's got, I mean, he's got an angle, he's got a career. His face does most of the work.
Like, yeah, he doesn't seem to do any acting. It's like, here, take a beer, tell us how much you don't like that person. Good, cut.
Yeah. He's lucky that he was born, he's the Lord or whatever, whoever makes... the genetic combinations blessed him with that.
See, he's lucky that for some reason he was confident enough to take that face into auditions.
Yeah, no, it worked. I mean, he's perfect,
Otherwise, I don't think he'd be cast and stuff. I think that, like, eventually someone was like, wow, he looks like a douche.
And what's the other friend's name? The not Mark, Josh.
Yeah.
Josh, I've seen him in movies too. He's in a Jim Jarmusch movie. I saw him. He's been in a bunch of stuff too.
What are you in?
His name. He has a three name kind of name. Forget it.
William Jackson Harper.
Yes, William Jackson Harper. I think he's done a bunch of TV stuff.
He has. It seems like he's got a much longer.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a lot of stuff.
He's been all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
2019 was a big year for him. He was in three movies.
Mm. But on the face of it, he's sort of like the most sympathetic guy. He's just this guy trying to do his work and stuff, and he's serious. But he totally crosses the line, and he pays for it,
I feel like that's almost like a caricature that you get in most movies like that, where you see the person who is almost too curious, where they're going to fuck up. It's the curiosity killed the cat kind of cliche.
Mm-hmm. Well, also he's definitely stands in for that thing of kind of what I was talking about before, about this kind of safari, or when people say, usually, like from Europe or America, go to other countries and plunder whatever, either treasures or religious artifacts for their own aims. He's like the Indiana Jones kind of thing,
Mm-hmm.
Like what they're actually doing is not respecting the culture that they're studying at all. They just want to either get praise or glory or riches out of it.
Or laid like Mark.
Yeah, right. They're basically on safari they're going to see a freak show, they think, And it's spring, it's summer break for them. It's the summer.
I mean, they're drinking beer and saying they wanted to see milkmaids and stuff.
Yeah. The one Mark, just can't stop talking about the hot chicks. He gets his wish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I just can't believe that, anyone actually, though, would have been stupid enough to have pissed on that tree. Like, it was, one, too much in the open, and two, how did you not notice how people were treating the tree?
Well, he'd been drinking beer all day. He had to piss. And he's... No, but it's in keeping with his character. Like, the guy had no respect ever.
Yeah.
To anybody, So, yeah.
Although he was really controlling during his acid trip.
You gotta lay down. You gotta look up at the sky. It's amazing.
Everybody, please lay down.
Yeah. Well, he's got that... He's got those proto-fascist... control tendencies.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's no surprise he plays a cop in another movie,
But I have to say, from the minute that I met Pelle, which obviously he purposely brought up the Midsommar thing in front of Danny to have her be like, what the fuck, why didn't you tell me? Like, he wanted her there.
Of course.
I was rooting for a hookup, though, from that very minute. Yeah. I was just like, do it, please.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's sort of implied that, in the future, they would get together.
Oh yeah, I mean,
she's the fucking May Queen, and he's the new golden boy. He's brought in all this fresh blood, so he's like the hot guy on campus now in their society. He did good. He was praised by all the elders.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think I could see them, you know, 30 years later plunging off the cliff together.
Now that's a sequel I'd watch.
Midsommar 2. When you see Florence Pugh get old, it's time to go jump off the cliff and get her brain bashed in ritually.
The person I feel bad for is the old man who didn't die.
Oh, because he fucked up. Yeah, his aim was off.
I don't understand, though, why multiple people had to use the mallet thing. It's just like, okay, one got him. He's dead now.
I think it's because of their whole collective idea, so that one person wouldn't feel like they were a murderer. You know what I mean? I think that's why.
I would say that that's one of the few things that did surprise me. Not them dying or anything, but because, as you said, it's so in daylight and everything seems very pristine. You really see the nitty-gritty close-ups of like, mm-hmm. the bashed-in face.
Yeah, I mean, it's really gory. And there's not that many gore scenes in this, but the ones that are incredibly graphic.
Yeah. And what I like about the graphic scenes is, like, they're not, like, hyped up where you're, like, the music where you're supposed to be freaked out or, like, jarred or whatever. But it's just kind of happening.
Yeah. And... speaking of the music, before I forget, I mean, like the song that goes as the movie ends is just perfect. The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore by Frankie Valli. You know? So there's this kind of like...
It's a little tongue-in-cheek at moments.
Deadpan, the whole thing is kind of deadpan funny. You know?
Like... I don't think I was scared at all. Obviously, I think we've been learning that we really don't get afraid during these movies, but it's fun.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, I like the movies where the quote-unquote bad guy's behavior is explained and, if not completely justified, then understandable. Like, I don't like the movies where it's suddenly a bad guy and either they give him a backstory why he's become bad, but like they blame him or something. And it explains how the good guy, why the good people are good. In this movie, the way it ends, there's society is going to keep going and the outsider girl has found her new family to replace the one she's lost.
I mean, I was going to go one step further and say, I don't think there is a bad guy.
No. I mean, they're set up to be bad guys, but they're not.
Like, it's just one of those, like, you just haven't acclimated. It looks different to you.
No, the bad guy is Christian, really.
Honestly, yeah. Like, he, Mr. Douchebro, yes.
And he, you know, he gets what he's got coming, even more so than the other ones. I mean, maybe you could
argue. He was petty. He was definitely acting like a little bitch when he did the copulation thing, because he did it only after seeing Danny get all the attention.
Yeah, he didn't like it that they all they were all paying attention to her. And he didn't, you know, he stole Josh's idea for a thesis after he saw that it was all like fascinating. Yeah, he's like the ultimate kind of like suck up also ran, you know. Kind of, yeah.
He's like the most boring guy ever, actually.
Yeah, he had nothing going for himself at all.
I don't even understand why she was with him in the first place. Like, he seemed like he brought nothing to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even prior to all that.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, it's often the case where it's that thing where it's clear, you know, they're very young people and it's probably their first serious relationship. So you keep it going sometimes longer than it needs to, mm-hmm. out of what it's meant to your life. You know what I mean? Even though it's clear that they both have outgrown each other or, you know, they should have gone their separate ways earlier. And look, it took going and visiting a cult to really underscore the point, how much they didn't belong together anymore. That's what it took for her to finally leave him.
There's like the thing that makes me wonder, would they eventually have just left each other if the murder-suicide thing didn't happen?
I could see, like,
just kept staggering that shit out.
She would have walked in on him fucking the waitress from the bar or something, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it feels like they're already at, like, the crescendo of the relationship, so.
Yeah, yeah, they were done. But, I mean, we often don't do the things at the time that they should have been done. And that's why we have these movies to sort of exaggerate. You know, like, you have to have this life, this catastrophic life lesson to get you to make the decision you should have made long ago.
Wow, I just actually like the way you just said, like, kind of like the timeliness and everything, then going back to the fact that they all view their, like, life cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What life cycle, I mean, like, where was she supposed to be at her age?
Let's see. Well, she would have been becoming...
She would have been spring. She would have been summer, right?
Yeah. She would have been roughly where the girl that chose Christian, you know, to impregnate her or whatever. She would have,
I like how she, like, what, put sign underneath his bed, like, you're the one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the... that, whatever it was. It was some... like a spell or whatever. What are those things called? Sigil, or I don't know what the fuck they are. Yeah. Well, you wrap some twig around some bone or something, and you cast a spell, and it's going to be a magical, like a totem. A totem.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of witchy shit in this movie. I don't know. I didn't read too much about how much he took. It all seemed very, rang pretty true to so many of these, like, early religions, mm-hmm. and what they believe and how they're really, you know, the pre-Christian religions that are a lot more tied to the cycle of seasons and nature and stuff. And they're praying to basically the elements, you know. And they're trying to be in harmony with them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's not until these, you know, like Judaism and Christianity and Islam and stuff, where you get this kind of like the one God thing, and that you're going to go to some other place, and they become more of a personal thing. Whereas the religions like this one are much more communal.
You know, I was going to say, I like the fact that they weren't promised some kind of afterlife after they kill themselves.
No, you go back and you're just supposed to be like worm food or whatever, you know, you're supposed to fertilize the next whatever.
Like, you completed this cycle, now you, yeah.
I don't, yeah, maybe, I kind of felt bad for the bear. The bear had to be sacrificed to be a suit for the asshole to be burned in the hut, in the triangle hut.
I mean, I do have to say, I was very excited to know what was going to happen with that bear when I first saw it. I was what's your purpose here?
It's going to become a suit.
Mm, poor bear.
Yeah.
I feel poor bad bear. For the actual cult members, by the way, who also were sacrificed, because if you notice that they were, like, what, told to eat something or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, some kind of numbing, some kind of plant.
It didn't work.
At the end, yeah, you had the one guy who was screaming, it didn't take, yeah. Well, but I don't know. I mean, he chose to be there. That was his choice.
No one made him.
Yeah, it's a good question. Where, you know, you can judge these people for being sort of primitive or what have you, but are, like, are contemporary choices any more, like, reasoned or rational for, like, extending life way, way beyond the length it should be with all these medicines and shit? I don't know. There's lots of choices that are very questionable that we make, and I didn't find too many of their practices to be that questionable. No more questionable than ours. I don't know.
I've always been fascinated by religions and everything, so nothing really struck me as odd. I was just like, all right, that's just another one.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, you know, they look pretty good. They had nice outfits. They're out, like, frolicking in the field and stuff.
They do a lot of drugs. They seem like they eat well. They're pretty happy.
Yeah, their life was presented like it didn't seem like a horror to them. The horror was...
They clearly weren't terrified or afraid of their elders, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's these interlopers from, you know, the modern world that were having a bad time.
Because I was watching Devil in Ohio, which is on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, it's about the girl like comes and like she pretends to be like running away, but she's I saw that.
Yeah, so I was at first thinking like, oh, maybe like the cult members, like not everyone wants to be part of it, but no, everyone was happy there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the that's sort of like what sets this movie apart from the typical like. What usually happens with the way the cults are portrayed in pop culture, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's like Jonestown or something. It's Doomsday, or like they're being judged or condemned. But this movie doesn't condemn the society, you know?
I mean, I'm probably one of those annoying people who say that all religions are cults, so...
No, they're cults that grew a lot bigger than them religions, yeah.
I will say the definition of cult, I think, is just an emerging religion, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I mean the point being that, like, usually in shows, whether it's horror or not, it's portrayed as a bad thing or a thing you're supposed to escape, or that it's like this kind of reactionary or backwards or whatever,
mm-hmm.
But not in this movie. I mean, like, I really think that it's like the quote-unquote modern people that are more fucked up than the other way around.
It's weird because the only person who does seem to be afraid is Danny. And, oh, my God, what's the name of the other chick who her boyfriend was taken to the train station?
They're the ones that are horrified during the suicide, the old people killing themselves. They try to run away, and then...
Obviously, that didn't take...
Well, they have to stop them, and you understand why, because if those people run away and tell about what's going on there, then their society is over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if we get too much backstory about that couple, how they ended up there.
I think just each of the people went on their pilgrimages or missions like Mormons would do and brought people back.
Like Pele. No, but that couple, were they friends with Pele too?
I think they were friends with his brother.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. That's why we didn't see them earlier, like at the college.
Yeah. Like they're like introducing.
They came from
like,
somewhere else.
They all had different like little groups.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you could argue that they sort of, they got a raw deal maybe, but. They
only scared people who obviously did not have a happy ending, whereas Danny was scared, but...
Well, Danny was scared, but, like, I mean, interestingly, like, she didn't try to... Like, she was packing, but then Pele talked her out of it, and she stayed.
She was easily talked down about everything. Like, you think that someone who went through such trauma and had such a shitty relationship and everything, you think she'd be, like, freaked out, but...
No, she was unbalanced the whole movie until the end, until she found her place.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was easily swayed because she was in such turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, really, she had if you think about it, she had nothing to go back to. You know, I mean, her family's gone. Her asshole boyfriend would have broken up with her anyways. She had nothing to go back to. We don't even know what the fuck she was studying, really. Do we find out? I don't remember.
No, I don't. Oh, wait. Do we do, actually? Oh, it's so ironic, too.
Yeah, what was she?
Psychology.
Oh, she was a psychologist. Right. Which is like a major you do when you don't know what you're going to be in life. You know, like.
Oh, I'm going to tell my niece that.
Sorry, hon.
Oh, I don't think she's going to make it as one, so whatever.
Well, it's one of the ones. Or like you study, I'm not, you know, English major. You know, or whatever.
I was going to say, I think my niece is studying psychology for the same reason why I think she was studying psychology is because there was something mentally ill in her family.
Right. Right. So yeah, this Danny's studying psychology, you know, because she grew up with a very disturbed sister who obviously she had to worry about her whole life. Yeah. And the worst case scenario comes true. Man, she kills him in such an old school way. Like that seems to be a way like way before her time, like the gas from the car.
I was pretty impressed with the separate hoses. I was like, okay,
yeah. I mean, she did her homework.
Like you could have killed them all in different ways, but I guess you know, go peacefully. But she just like she duct taped it on her own mouth. Like that was impressive.
Yeah.
Like it's like she knew that she was going to eventually struggle.
Well, yeah. Well, you see, also the front of her shirt was all soiled from vomit, you know, or blood or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
it's when he shows you these scenes, he does not spare, he doesn't leave much to the imagination.
Oh, no, not all, especially because, I mean, I was seeing, and, you know, it's worth a rewatch, but they show you very clearly, like, why, like, she looks that way, or the parents look that way, or whatever, is anytime Danny's having, like, a weird, like, acid trip or freak out moments, you see that. Randomly in the background. I mean, I was looking at this one scene where she was being carried on that, it's not a table, but plank of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the tree line in the background.
Yeah.
It's totally the sister's face with the hose in her mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's the stuff that she's remembering that's coming back to her mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tormenting her. Yeah. But yeah, the one couple that tries to run, I mean, but once again, okay, maybe they didn't deserve it, but nobody put a gun to their head to go visit this place, you know? And maybe they just thought they were just going to have a fun time, like it was going to be like spring break or whatever, but
I mean,
they got more than
anything like Pele, like if his brother was anything like, Pele didn't seem to give any false promises. Like, he was just like, no, we're going straight to this place. Like, you remember Mark in the bar or whatever was like, oh, let's stop over at this place. He's like, no, it's the other direction.
Yeah, because he wanted to go to, like, a whorehouse or something or, like, some sex thing.
Yeah. So Pele gave definitely, like, very clear, like, this is what's going to happen. Don't expect anything amazing, but this is our thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if his brother was like that with Simon and Connie, I think.
Yeah.
Either way, obviously, it didn't go well with them.
But yeah, it's an interesting trick that, like, through the writing or direction or whatever, you don't. I don't know. I don't know if other audience members felt completely bad for the people that died, but I didn't.
No.
In the context of this story,
the only person I felt bad for was, shit, nobody.
The bear.
Yeah, maybe the bear. I also feel bad for the poor chick that asked Carrie Christian's child. Don't think that you didn't think about that at all. Like, come on.
Well, maybe they're banking on her, you know, on her genes superseding his. I don't know.
Let's hope. But hey, they are avoiding incest now by his new genetics, and obviously we're insinuating that Danny's going to probably stay. So,
and I mean, she that girl picked him, which enforces the fact of, you know, people making bad choices in relationships and who they choose to go out with, just like Danny did whenever she chose Christian years earlier. I mean, like, what did she ever see in him? Like, for us, as the viewers, I mean, he's such a fucking douchebag. There's nothing to recommend him. But she saw something in him.
Bland looking. As you just said, like, he's, like, such a fence sitter. Like, there's no personality there. There's no style to the way he looks. There's no, I don't know, there's nothing that actually wants to, like, draw you in.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like one of these Seth Rogen types. I don't know.
Hey, Seth Rogen is even better than him.
Not a fan. Yeah. But just, he's just like these kind of doughy bros. I don't know.
It's like I am pretty happy that like he was a douchey boyfriend a little bit because it forced her to get out of her rut of a life and.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, even like erase the murder suicide of her entire family. Yeah, her life wasn't great anyways with this guy. If she'd had a nice boyfriend, she wouldn't have gone off with him to Sweden, and none of this would have happened. So he needed to be what he was to push all of this forward and for her happy ending that she got.
It's so funny, you know, because typically, you know, like you would almost want to be like, oh, she's the final girl. But it's like, no, she's happy. All is good. She wasn't escaping or running away from anybody.
No, I mean, she's in so much a worse place at the beginning of this movie than at the end.
Yeah, I mean, like
she's this girl in her
popping Ativan and everything, re-looking at all the messages that her sister sent her.
Yeah, it's the beginning is the horror movie, you know, like her life at the beginning, at like what is supposedly like her normal life, quote unquote, is the horror show, you know.
The whole time in the beginning, I was just like, oh, I feel for this chick.
Yeah. And then she goes on this crazy adventure and things just like all her dreams come true. That she didn't even know she had dreams that she couldn't have even imagined.
See, that's amazing. Pele, he's the key to everything.
I guess
he's our hero.
Yeah, and look, yeah, he's a guy that draws, so he's a hero.
He's got he's charismatic. He actually pays attention to what day she said was her birthday. The only one out of all the friends who gave a fuck that she went through a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Notice a single one of them didn't say shit, and he's like, "I wanted to say I'm so sorry."
Yeah, and I mean,
yeah,
and she didn't like it. She was freaked out that he said that he could, he knew what she was going through since he lost his parents.
Well, and clearly, everybody there did.
Yeah, but then he, you know, he found he told her like, but through that process, like I never felt alone because I was part of this whole collective family, and that's what you could have, and that's what she gets.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she chooses. I mean, she chooses it by, you know, sacrificing Christian. Yeah.
So
she could have chosen to spare him, you know?
I would not spare his ass.
Of course not.
I don't think that there was any, like, mystery as to whether she was going to spare him. I don't know if anyone was like, maybe. It's like, she's not going back to her life. She's not making him feel any better. She's like, she was considering dumping him before everything.
That would have been a huge bummer if she had done that.
I know. Be like, all right, I'll take you back. Let's go back to our very boring existence.
But, well, it forces, I mean, you see that, you know, that there's a pain, there's some conflict in her expression when has to choose. She understands, but she has to choose, you know, she has to choose herself, basically, you know. Her own happiness.
Someone who probably went through like an entire life being manipulated by a sister like that, like you probably don't get to put yourself first a lot.
Yeah, that was her challenge, was like not to keep being manipulated by other people. And it took her being like in the middle of this cult to realize that.
I dig it.
Yep. Midsommar.
It's very
like
good movie.
It's like a how-to manual to get out of your shitty relationship.
I mean, I thought it was funny because obviously it's described as folk horror, which is very accurate and everything.
Oh, that's what the algorithm calls it?
Yes, that's what the Wikipedia calls it.
But yeah, I mean,
saw it as like a dark fairy tale.
Yeah, but you could pair it with like The Witch or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It would be like in the same ballpark, kind of.
Which I would also say is, as you said, like same ballpark in a, wow, this chick went through some serious shit. But hey, good for her. Like, she got the good end at the end.
Right. In both, in The Witch, she, you know, her asshole family turns her into a witch.
Yeah.
She's like, all right, fuck you. You think I'm a witch?
I'll be a witch, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you think I'm a psychotic person with family problems? Okay, I'm going to pick this family. Fuck you, Christian.
That's right.
Like, it's very fun that out of these, like, very 21st century movies, do we call them elevated horror? Or I guess, as we just said, folk horror, that's what The Witch is considered too, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Elevated horror, I you've said that term a few times. And yeah,
I keep hearing it.
Yeah. Whoever thought that up, I don't like that. I don't know.
Let's see what elevated horror even means.
I mean, I understand it's out like the Jordan Peele movies and stuff, but Babadook or whatever.
More artful sensibility than.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess.
No, and this is okay. So yeah, it's not trash. It's not. I don't know. It's not. This is certainly not a slasher movie in any way, shape, or form. You know.
Yeah, like it doesn't like rely on jump scares or stuff like that.
Yeah, but I mean, there is some relationship to, you know, Black Christmas, like that we saw previous to this. I mean, there's all like the bad boyfriends and stuff.
I feel like we can go, like, even with Scream and everything, that he was a shit boyfriend.
Right. I don't remember who the boyfriend. Who was the. Was it Skeet Ulrich was the boyfriend? Or. Who was the boyfriend?
I know the name of the character. Billy Loomis.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's Skeet Ulrich.
I think it is, yeah. But even in the most recent one, the boyfriend was a shitty guy, too. Yeah.
Right, and now, yeah, you sent me that trailer, and they're like in New York or something. They moved to New York.
I hate to tell you, but D.T. Robbins, he kind of got me excited for it. Like, I had sworn myself, I was like, I will see it, but I might hate watch it. But then, like, we started, like, exchanging ideas, and I was like, motherfucker, you got me intrigued now.
Why did he say that intrigued you so much?
We were debating who would actually be the killer because there is absolutely nobody who has any motive to kill any of these main characters because they're all new characters.
Mm-hmm.
And he believes, as I do as well, that it's going to be almost like what Scream 3 was supposed to be, and Stu Mocker is still alive and he's going to be the killer, especially because the actor who played Stu just signed a contract with Blumhouse. So I don't know. It's a fun theory. I don't think it's actually going to be a thing. Who is he? He's like Matthew whatever.
Oh, Lillard?
Yeah, Matthew Lillard.
Okay. See, yeah, when people start talking this way about this, the multiverse, whatever, it all just sounds like Dungeons and Dragons to me.
I mean, I think that is the point of like Scream at this point. Is
no, it is
fan fiction from here.
Yeah. It's all and what who's gonna play Christian Grey this time or? That's what I want to know.
It's just like it's very.
Who's gonna whip? What whips and chains will they use in the next scene? What sex toys are going to be featured in the Scream Happy Meal? I don't know. Yeah, it just becomes such a marketing gimmick or like product placement. You know what I mean?
When all you of have it. A series or franchise or whatever you want to call it that goes on for so long, yeah.
That's why it's so refreshing to talk about a movie like Midsommar, you know? I mean, yeah, you could probably, some cheeseball could probably make like a franchise out of it, but it would lose any of whatever the appeal. This is just the story of this one young woman, you know, and what she did with this tragic circumstances of her life, you know?
I mean, when I think of, like, some of my favorite slasher movies, I wish there were one-offs. Like, I wish Scream was just Scream, Halloween was just Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street was just Nightmare on Elm Street.
Absolutely.
Almost. The rest is just kind of like sugar, you know? It's like, oh, I love it. It's from the way it tastes, but you don't actually really, like, it doesn't satisfy you the same way.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just like, you know, like you could talk to any drug addict, you know, like where like their first like big high, you know, like they chase it the rest of their life and they can never replicate it, you know?
Yeah.
It's empty. It becomes empty calories.
It really does. But yeah, for that and, like, brief moment, though, for those like 2 hours, you're and like, yet, this is good.
You're excited for the 73rd iteration of Scream or whatever, how many fucking movies there have been.
For me to very out loud be like, motherfucker, right next to you when they reveal that it's a character I've never met as Ghostface.
That's funny. But, you know, I mean.
Or if they write like Neve Campbell's death off screen, like I'll be like, come on, could you not have just like not have acknowledged her? Like, I hate it when they kill somebody off screen just because they don't want to be in the movie.
Well, but that's such an old that's a trick of like daytime soap operas, you know, like when the contract doesn't get renewed, then the person's dead. You know what I mean? You just kill them off.
That's what I hate, and it's like I just want to be like, just leave her alone. Yeah, maybe she'll come around for another one. Knowing this series, it seems like they're going to keep going. Like yeah, maybe she needs a couple years as a break, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe Neve Campbell needs another whatever, another house or something, and another yacht to buy her.
You know what's shocking is she is severely underpaid. She was right.
Yeah.
She
oh, really?
She does not have a lot of money at all. Well, compared to most actors her age.
Oh, okay. I don't know anything about any of that stuff. Who's paid the most or whatever.
I mean, Emma Roberts was paid more for Scream 4 than Neve Campbell. Neve Campbell only has $10 million. I love how I say only, but when you put her next to like Courtney Cox or Emma Roberts or now this new chick who seems to be getting big because she was Wednesday, Jenna Ortega, they're going to eclipse her so quickly in terms of salaries. And I understand if I was the person who was actually anchoring the series.
And see, now and then now it crosses over from like Dungeons and Dragons into like the sports world. This sounds just like when guys talk about how their favorite star didn't get paid as much as the rival team's star for their new contract. It's the same exact shit.
It's definitely what happens when you talk about franchises for sure. Yeah.
Yep. That's why they will never be like the main thing that we talk about on this show because it's just, it's just fucking annoying and disappointing. It's not a world that I like, you know, I can make fun of it for 15 minutes or something, but it's very rare that I can be actually authentically interested, you know, in any of these things. Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, I guess this is the last episode of this year.
I know.
I think the next pick is yours.
I'd like to say one. I think it's very hilarious that your picks were both the right next to the holiday picks. You got right before Thanksgiving. You're gonna be right before Christmas, so that's fun.
Yeah, and we're holiday themed, you know.
Yeah, this is just another culture's holiday.
It is. No, we did two. We got Black Christmas before this, and we got Midsommar, which is a fest, you know, summer festival for a different culture. So yeah, we honored the season despite ourselves.
I will come back to you with another horror movie because my mind is blank right now.
Yeah, that's fine.
I just saw that Wild Things is on Netflix and I kind of want to watch that and that's where my mind is at the moment.
Wild Things isn't a horror movie.
No, so I just want to chill and watch that.
But you could see, where, you know, Neve Campbell, well, not where she began, but where her movie career began, basically.
I want to say she did this around the same time that Scream came out.
Yeah, my buddy John's movie. Yeah,
dude, I want to like see him again. He was nice.
He's cool. Yeah, we had dinner last week. I designed this like 220 page, basically graphic novel comic book, which is like a scene shot by shot, like sort of plan for this either movie or this new project of his called Carney Kill. And yeah, I'm eager to see how it's out at the printers now. We'll see what it comes out like, but he's gonna send it to, you know, to studios and stuff to see if he can interest them in making this thing.
What's it actually about?
It's kind of like a pulp novel. It's set at an amusement park, and there's crimes and stuff. But he uses real life, like the images of real life stars, like Luke Perry's in it, Kim Novak is in it, all these other old movie stars are in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like the challenge or the problem of it, because you have to get rights to use these people's images, and he just did it anyways. But it could turn into some sort of animation or something. There's probably... It's kind of like what we talk about. How can you get around some of these copyright law, these intellectual property laws and stuff? But yeah, it's a bunch of work. It's like over 800 images that I had to sort of do layout and compose.
Sounds a very exciting project to do. Like, even if nothing comes of it, that just sounds fun.
Yeah, it's good because so the guy that did the actual artwork and stuff is an old college friend of his, and I guess that he saw the proof of it like a week or two ago, and he's super excited about it. It's just a nice object to have, you know, like this kind of book. It's not going to be for sale, but we're only making 100 copies, and it's just to give away and to interest people in the industry. But there will be other things like. I made a slideshow and stuff that he could show people that you could project, you know. So if you set that to music or get somebody to animate it, it could turn into a thing.
Hmm.
There's some possibilities. We talk a lot, me and John, about just kind of like the future of that industry, the industry that he was in for so long. It's changing so much. I mean, like, nobody's going to the movies except for Marvel Universe shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All the movies that they put in theaters for grown-ups are flopping, like, all of them.
I've noticed that are some good ones that people go to, like, indie movies.
Well, yeah, but, like, it's really, really moving into kind of, like, the way that people that like records, you know?
It's going
to be this boutique niche thing. And the mass culture is moving in a totally different direction. And it's to these endless... I mean, even the Marvel movies are all just segments of, like, a larger thing, just like these TV shows are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This intellectual property. And then it's these long, complex mythologies that go on and on and on. They're not standalone movies. They're not the thing that, like, John and I love so much.
Whoever came up with the idea of creating the Marvel Universe for Disney was a genius when it comes to capitalism. Like, that dude sure. Knew who what he was doing, so yeah.
Evil genius.
That's what I'm saying, evil genius. Like, oh, you want to watch this one? You have to watch all 40 other movies.
That's why, I mean, I feel, like, blessedly absolved of any of it. Like, I've seen so few of them, and I'm so not interested. And I know that if I were to be interested, I don't know if I have enough of a lifetime left to really be up to speed.
I'm not either.
I just don't fucking care, quite honestly. There's so much other stuff, books and even old movies and other stuff to see that clearly this is the thing that makes the most money in that sector, in that part of the entertainment world. But, like, I just do not fucking care. I'm glad they're making their money.
Going to Christmas this year. I don't have to listen to anyone talk about Marvel.
Oh, are you skipping Christmas?
Oh yeah, we're doing our own attempt at celebrating. Yeah.
Are you doing Festivus? Do you have a festival poll, and you're gonna have like an airing of grievances?
No. Oh God, that'd be hilarious in my family. But yeah, no, we're actually boycotting all Smart Family events.
Wow. Is this your first time doing that, or?
Yeah, it's actually pretty exciting for me because I actually found out that there are quite a few like things that are going to cause tensions at each holiday. So I was just like, we made the right decision. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if the city doesn't get snowed under, you can come visit me at the bar.
Oh, Boo and I actually want to do that if he gets home from work at the right time, which it's his last day that Friday. So yeah.
Oh, Friday's his last day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm there Friday and Sunday.
Ooh.
So Christmas Day, I'm there at 9 o'clock, and the 23rd, which is Friday also. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Come. Yeah. If the roads are passable, and you know, if you don't have something else, come by and visit.
From what I'm seeing, like, it's supposed to just be like really cold, right?
Well, there's supposed to be a big storm on Thursday. It just depends on how much if the snow continues into Friday or not, you know?
I'm one of those skeptics when it comes to, yeah, like, because it still feels early with these storms. They always end up being overblown. It's like, hey, yes, we got a couple inches.
Yeah, every year it's snowpocalypse, and like the big one doesn't come till like February or something. Who knows? But I'll be there anyways Friday and Sunday. So yeah, if you're around, come visit. I've fulfilled all my holiday things. You know, I did my 2 days at Renegade and survived. So
I know the one thing that we wanted to do, I think it was going to be on Christmas Eve, is, oh, what do you call it? The Chris Kindle thing?
The Kindle Mark? Yeah. Mart? Oh, in Daly Plaza?
Yeah. Who likes the pretzels there, and I like the wine. So that's our most like basic white person thing that we enjoy.
So yeah, go celebrate your Nazi Christmas. That's fine.
And this is why you're not allowed on Twitter.
No, I'm not allowed. I'm allowed on Twitter. Well, is there Twitter anymore? Hasn't it been completely destroyed?
A lot of people are very confused on Twitter. And it's like, I knew that like if I started talking about Twitter, I would start being like, what the hell's going on? But are you aware that Elon Musk held a poll saying, should he step down or not?
Of course.
And everybody voted step down. Well, not everybody, a shit ton.
Yeah.
And he has not like commented on it at all.
Yeah. Who knows? And, you know, he's throwing journalists off there. So it's, yeah.
Also, he's getting angry at people who link out to other social media.
I'm really, I don't know. I'm pretty confident in my earlier assertion that he bought the thing just to destroy it. Like he wanted to kill it. And he's doing a great job.
I think he was just bitter because he kept getting in trouble.
I guess. I don't know what, like, these guys are just, they just get bored and they do these things. What the fuck, like, he's like the richest man on earth. He's just bored and he needs a new hobby. And the hobby is to destroy something somebody else loves, you know?
Well, what else do rich people do?
I guess so. I don't know. I don't, you know, I don't envy them. I don't,
like, yeah, I don't want to be a rich motherfucker, no.
He seems miserable, like all of them, him and Kanye and Trump, you know, like all these psychos that are so celebrated in this culture. Like they all look miserable. I don't envy any of them. I don't want to be them. I don't want to be around them. I wish we didn't have to hear about them anymore, really. That would be nice.
We really wouldn't if there wasn't Twitter, actually, because we weren't always on top of all that shit.
And it's also, I mean, it contributes to this culture. It's totally connected for me, like where we comment about how many millions this star makes or that star makes. It's all part of that same culture, you know? And where you envy, where you set up these competitions of like, well, this guy deserves this much. Like none of them fucking deserve any of it. You know, they're doing a thing that you should be happy to do for free.
Hey, that's what I keep trying to tell my authors at Walden House too. Like, stop counting your sales.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, when they complain that somebody else is making their millions,
I've had a few who like compare themselves to other authors, and I have to be like, it just worked out a different way for them. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. Be happy. People are excited to read what you wrote.
Oh, like they, you had one like find out that somebody else's book did a lot better or something, and they're like feel aggrieved.
hear a rumor that, like, because, you know, it's so hard for other writers to prove, because I never release the numbers from my authors to other authors, because I think that's just shitty.
Well, yeah, why would you? That's just seems like a recipe for disaster.
But, like, you get, like, one writer on, well, let's take it back to the evil again, Twitter, hyping up how many sales they got. So then I have a writer who comes to me and is really insecure, like, why am I not getting those sales?
Yeah, that's somebody that is not in it for the right reasons.
And it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't keep up that much on how much my book sells. I mean, I'll get a check and I'll be like, oh, that's cool. Someone gave a fuck. But yeah.
Well, that at least means that you're dealing with a publisher that's honest. I can tell you, you know.
Yeah.
For being someone who dealt with a crook who doesn't pay their writers. So, you know, you could have been worse. Whether it's a big check or a small check.
Oh, they're trying to be on, you know. It's notarized as to, like, where it went and everything, too. And I was like, thank you. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like knowing,
that's all you can hope. Yeah, that's all you can hope. That's all you can hope for.
Especially if I don't, like, promote my stuff anymore. If someone reads it, I'm just like, damn, good for you.
But yeah, if you're, you know, if what you want is to make a lot of money, don't fucking go into the arts. Go become a fucking investment banker. Go. There's so many other ways that you can make money much more efficiently, you know, and you can also show off in front of your friends. And that's part of built into the business, you know,
like a lawyer or something like that.
There's all these professions where that's like part of it.
It's the white collar jobs.
So many. So why, like, a writer or an artist would be consumed in these things? And I understand they're natural human faults, you know, to be worried or to be jealous or what have you. But it's just
like,
so
we all are insecure to some degree, but so many times it's very unhealthy.
It's just unproductive. All it does is make you waste time you could spend better making a new thing. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know if you go at it from this. Well, actually, I think you probably go at it from a different way. Every time I write or I put something out there, I immediately assume it sucks and I don't care.
Oh, no, I don't think that. No, when I put something out there, it's a relief because it means I'm done with it.
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, it's like a kind of like purging or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I never have to think about it again. But then it's interesting when enough time passes, then you can pick up something like I've picked up like an old book and seeing it with fresh eyes. And it's good if enough time passes, you can see it as if it's done by someone else.
That's actually my favorite thing to do with writing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I had that experience. I was a guest in my friend's college class, and he asked me to read from Soviet Stamps, which, I mean, you know, it came out like 3 years ago now, and I hadn't picked it up in like a year or two, and I had to flip through it to choose what I was going to read, and I was like, I don't know if I was like pleasantly surprised, but I was like, oh, look at that. It's not so bad, you know, like, it's interesting. I was kind of, it engaged me.
You had the cringe at first, and you're like, oh wow, I'm not that bad.
Yeah, I was of course going into it, I was dreading. I was like, fuck that old thing, like, why? And I remembered the whole process of how hard it was, because that's kind of like the book that was supposed to be the third book, and that was the book where I couldn't get an agent, I couldn't get a publisher, and I wound up publishing it myself, you know. It's the one I put out completely by myself, so like it took like 6 years, you know, for it to finally come out. So it has like a sort of like an unpleasant history for me. Mm-hmm. But I picked it up. It's like, well, it's not bad, you know.
It's good, it's not writing. Bad. Yeah. Not that you need me to like stroke your ego, but I loved it.
Oh, thank you. That book, it's got like particular, there's the people that like that book, like it a lot. And it's sort of, yeah, it holds its own place in, you know, in my sort of history, but, for me, but I mean, the aim is to make something that connects with somebody else, like you're saying it does, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. So then in that aspect, it's a success. But because I put it out myself on the business side, I know exactly how much like it has made or has not made. And, It's taken a couple of years. It's about to break even, that book.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Which
Did
is
you
good.
Do offset?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense then. Okay.
Yeah, 800 copies, signed and numbered. But
I liked it, though. I mean, I'm shocked that it took that long, but I mean, then again, but you were doing it all on your own.
With no distribution system, with no social media.
That is impressive.
And that's what I mean.
That you do all the festivals and you put in the legwork and everything.
No, I mean, I do a lot of work. It's just it has to be on my terms. Mm-hmm. Like it has to be in a way that I can live with and away from things like with the, you know, Musk talk, these other systems.
I do find it funny though, that like, even if he does step down, he's just going to replace himself with someone douchey. Like he'll still own it.
Well, of course. Yeah. And it's, I mean, if nothing else, he's done people a service where like it's forcing the people to look around for alternatives. That it's, maybe it's run its course anyways, Twitter, you know?
Twitter, like, I feel like, was, I read an article before about, is the age of social media dying?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're slowly getting there. It's exciting.
But yeah, and that same, the same, like, college talk where I had to read from Soviet stamps, this one girl suggested, I you should make a video on book talk. And I just like laughed. I'm not going on fucking TikTok. I'm not doing it.
Is Dimitri going to be upset if he finds out that I put you on Book Talk?
Did you put me on Book Talk? No. I'm.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Thank you. No.
Sexual healing is a TikTok. I've been experimenting with it. Let's see how many views you have right now.
No, that's
224.
Nice.
I put you up last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did you put on there?
I put your off the record.
Oh, the thing. Yeah, the thing I recorded. Yeah.
TikTok,
oh, cool.
You got to keep it short.
Yeah, is it up? I kind of look after this girl suggested it. I kind of finally did some research about. So is it 3 minutes the limit on the videos?
I don't know the total limit. I usually never go more than like a minute. So like yeah. Your bit is definitely shorter. Clearly than what you actually recorded for me. I just.
Well, my thing is long because like, unlike some of your other off the records, I put the song in it.
Even with the song, like if you take it out, it's still too long to put the whole thing on TikTok.
Yeah. That thing is over 10 minutes. I think what I sent you. Yeah.
But people really liked it. So.
No, that's cool. No, look, I think I've said this before. I'm not against other people like talking about me or my work on these platforms. I just can't do it myself.
It is a headache. I got kicked off of TikTok actually a couple days ago.
For what did you do?
Apparently in the algorithm, two of the videos I had, there was content in it that they felt were were flagged, and then one thing I was promoting.
Well, did you show somebody's tit or something? Or
one was literally like it was a joke where like for one of my podcast episodes, like we were talking because I saw someone on Twitter. They're like saying like they realized their favorite way like that they would want to die. So we got into a conversation of how would you like to die, and that got flagged. And then. Dave's book that I'm promoting. I don't know why I decided to just put some like trailers up on the textual healing podcast thing for TikTok because I just don't want to make another TikTok. Mm-hmm. And because it's called Birds Aren't Real, it's being flagged for spreading conspiracy theories.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Have you guys gotten into any troubles with the Birds Aren't Real guy?
No.
Not at all? Like
no.
Oh, interesting. I was wondering about that.
I looked into it and... It's totally fair game, what we're doing. So yeah.
Oh, okay. I wondered about that. I'm curious
about it too. Yeah. And I was just like, okay, let's cover all our bases and yeah.
No, I'm. I look forward to reading his book when you get those done. You know.
Oh, we have the PDFs done. I thought you were waiting for a physical.
No. You send me a PDF. This is like I can use that. I can use an iPad like those machine the device that you don't like. That's exactly what I would use it for. You know what else it's good for is like when I was at the fair at Renegade, I have my photos page queued up, and I can show people all the pet portraits I did. They can just flip through them easily.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good for that kind of stuff. So it does have its uses. And it took me a while to figure it out. I thought at first few months, I really didn't like it at all. I don't know.
I just sent it to you.
Sweet. Yeah, maybe. I look forward to reading it. I have his weird ass poem book, but
this one is pretty weird. The creepy
monster on the cover.
Yeah, his cover is the one that was weirdest for us. But I was just like, you know what? I want this to be like representative of what's inside.
Oh, I saw. Yeah, right. You guys, Volume on Brooklyn featured it. The video.
Trail. Oh, yeah. Good God. Yeah, I didn't make that.
No.
No. That was not a Mallory Smart made trailer.
You don't endure. You wash your hands of. You think it's like a bootleg unauthorized. Modeling
he
house
just kept sending it to me, and I was just like, you know what? Fine, use that. I don't care.
Well, this is what you get being an indie publisher. You can't control all of the promotional product that goes out. You know.
Actually, most people are pretty damn good at like keeping me involved and everything. But
oh yeah,
with Dave, I was just like, he was so excited, and I was just like, you know what? He is way more excited than like I am, even though I love the hell out of his book.
Well, I mean, the thing is, ultimately, it's his book. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I didn't want to take away the like emotion, because I just want to be like, yeah, we do tend to be a little bit more like straightforward, but it's like the book is chaotic. I want him to feel like he could show the chaos.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, there's like a drawing of a casket on the cover and stuff.
Yeah. Guy's supposed to be drinking a beer in the casket.
It's weird. Yeah, but, and yeah, I just went through a process. You know, I did a cover design for Claire Hopple's forthcoming book.
Another Malden House OG.
Yeah. Well, that was one of those situations where it's like, it's her book. So, and she had a lot of input. Like, it went through a lot of phases. And would I have done it maybe differently if it left to my own devices? For sure. But it's her name that's going on the cover, not mine. You know what I mean? So you got to kind of know your roles
in
those situations.
Is the cover out yet?
I don't think so, but I think it's supposed to come out in February.
Send it to me.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Trident kind of. Yeah.
Because I think Nate travels a lot.
Who knows where he could be halfway across the world at this point.
But he's been like everywhere right now. I'm just like, how do you afford it?
You know what he does for a living, right? You know what he does to pay the bills, right?
He's done a variety of things, so I don't.
Well, I met him at Adams because he was visiting, and he was telling me how he writes like. He gets hired to like take tests for rich kids and like doing their homework assignments.
I used to do that.
I guess that's like, you know.
And if you don't live to like, I don't know, if you don't like have too much of an expensive lifestyle, then yeah, that's good for you.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I used to do that. But then I found the rich kids to get really annoying. So I was like, fuck this shit.
Right, but yeah, if you lead a not expensive lifestyle, then it, you can get by. If you're like a traveling hobo, you know, like him.
See, when I first met him in his first couple of years and everything, he worked at the bookstore.
Oh, in Colorado, the one that Trident is connected to? Yeah.
Yeah, that's how he was able to do the press that was connected to them. He had worked there for a very long time.
Ah, okay.
He was almost like their mascot, like Kevin Samsel is for Powell's.
Right. So now he doesn't work there anymore, obviously.
No, but obviously they still are connected to them a certain degree, yeah.
It's confusing with Trident because there's another Trident publisher, this I think in England.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But there's an older one. There's another Trident.
Well, thankfully, the only competition Maldon House is there's an Irish hotel called Maldon House.
Oh, there is?
Yeah. That's our only competition, and we've knocked them down a peg or two.
Oh, really? Oh, you come up in the search results before them?
Yeah, it's kind of sad, though, because it looks like a really cute place.
You should go and visit sometime.
I know. So be like, hey, what's up? It's me.
And bring a bunch of your books.
I keep or like a t-shirt or something. Yeah. I'm that asshole. Nice to see you.
Does it look like a gothic horror house, like your logo?
Dude, I don't even, like, that was fun figuring out all the different versions of the logos. There are like 10 different versions. I'll have to send you.
Are there?
Yeah. Oh. It took us a while to figure out that one.
Hmm.
I'm, like, going down the list trying to find the hotel. It's not coming up anytime soon.
Mm.
We really did take it over, didn't we? We win.
Well, cool. I'll send you the Claire cover in a second.
Very exciting.
Sweet. And, yeah, we'll reconvene for the next mystery first movie of 2023.